Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, as part of my How to Reinvent Yourself for Retirement and Earn Some Additional Income Through a Home-Based Business. I'm extremely excited and privileged to be sitting with a lady who I've respected for many years, and that is Jo Munro.
Thank you, Anne. I really appreciate you inviting me along.
Jo is an online selling expert and is here to share her story. I always like to start our Reinvent Yourself for Retirement talks by getting a little background on people. Please tell me about your background prior to going online, Jo.
Well, I originally started my career as an internationally qualified ballet teacher, which sounds like a long way away from being an online sales expert. And then I did that for about 10 years, teaching ballet and drama and all of that sort of thing. And then got married and then ended up working in corporate doing channels to market. So I know that sounds like a bit of jargon, but fundamentally it was building products to put through different channels, so different dealer channels, different retail stores, different ways to sell product. And I did that with one of Australia's largest brands for 15 years and then left doing corporate to start my own business.
So you would say that you had plenty of selling and business experience?
Well, I had a lot of channel experience as far as how to take products to market, and I worked as an account manager with some of Australia's leading retailers. So I learnt very quickly when I was managing their account the ins and outs of traditional bricks and mortar retail, especially at the high end. So these were really big retailers you would know that have got like 60 stores throughout Australia and a very large store. So it was really true old-fashioned retail strategies that we used in those stores, and the company that I represented was putting products through those stores. So I learned a lot about that. As far as the sales goes, I wasn't really a direct salesperson at all. I was what they call in corporate an indirect salesperson. So I would look after the accounts for those people who were selling products. So it gave me a really great insight into how to move products and how to take them to market and how to target customers, the right customer segment. So that was the sort of strategy that we were doing. And that kind of informed my my career later in taking products online.
How did you get started in online selling?
Well, that's a funny story. I was overseas with some people who were quite really high-end, very profitable eBayers. And I am a bit of a shopaholic, to be fair, self-confessed shopaholic. I love shopping. I've got so many shoes I can't count them, like crazy shopaholic. But when they were saying they were making so much money from eBay, and they really were only working a couple of hours a day, and I was with them in the UK, working with them, helping them expand their channels in the UK, I was fascinated that what I thought was a junkyard could make so much money in with part-time work, because they weren't working hard, but they were making a lot of money every day, and it was 24/7, so they didn't have to even be there for the cash register to ring. I became quite fascinated at the way they ran things, because what I saw they did that was different was they approached it as a very professional business. They treated eBay like they'd paid $1 million for it, which a lot of other people were hobbyists and seemed to treat it like trash and treasure. And that was my view of what I thought eBay was back then, that it was just trash and treasure and it wasn't really my thing. I preferred to shop in retail stores. Seeing what they did, I thought in great Aussie fashion, I might just have a go and see what I could make of it, because I've got, you know, obviously I could treat it like a professional business and let's see if I could find some product to sell and if I could set it up like they had. And that was sort of the start of me getting online. But the thing that really convinced me that it was fantastic was when, as I said, I'm a shopaholic. When I would be out shopping and I'd buy my sister a present and I saw something at a really good price, so I'd buy one for her and one for me. And then I sort of decided maybe I'll buy a couple for my online store because this is a great product and it's a really, really good price. So that's how it started. I would buy a couple of things and I'd sell them for profit, and I'd sell them, you know, just around or under retail price, but I'd have bought them at a really aggressive price. So I was making that margin. So it really struck me that, you know, the traditional retail thing is that you buy at wholesale price and then you sell at retail price. For me, what was interesting was I could source products through retailers fundamentally because they're always on sale. I could source these products at really great prices and bundle, you know, some items with them and make it a more compelling offer and then sell them online and be making really good margin on it. And it sort of, as I kept doing that and I did more and more and found some what I call hero products that really went nuts, like really just sold like crazy, I realized that there was such a great market if you offer really great customer service, you get really great product, and you know how to put it together. And so that was the start of the idea of, you know, the book that I wrote called The Savvy Shopaholic.
You certainly knew how to go into it all out. When did you actually decide to go out and do your eBay as a business?
So really, when I first met these people, I thought I would kick the tire a bit and see if it was something I wanted to do. So, you know, the advice they'd given me was, you know, get online, set up a store, sell some stuff from around the house, which is kind of what eBay always says, you know, sell the junk from around the house. And eBay Australia claims that most people have between $2,000 and $9,000 worth of unwanted stuff laying around their house. So, you know, just that alone, it was like, well, I'll clear some stuff and I'll give it a go and I'll get some feedback and I'll see if it's something I like to do, because there's nothing more miserable than doing something you don't like doing. And then as I went along, you know, I sold some stuff from around the house and I was quite surprised at what sold. And I was horrified at the things that I thought would sell for a lot of money that didn't, and things that I thought would not sell at all went for a really good price. So, you know, it was a fascinating environment for me to sort of be working out how eBay worked. And then soon after that, I started doing the shopping thing where I'd go, oh, that's a good price, I'll see if I can sell a couple. And then I'd be going back and buying the retailer out of that product to sell online. But, you know, as I sort of got a taste of it, really looks like it, if you have got the right product and you put it together the right way professionally, that it really isn't just a part-time income, it can replace your income. And, you know, for some of the people I work with that are either mums at home who want to work their own hours, or they're people looking to retire and they want to make sure they've got an income stream beside their super and pensions and whatever else, it was really an interesting idea. So I just kept hammering it to see what I could do with it and kept trialing things, and that's sort of how I came up with my formula of how to set it all up.
It sounds like anyone that could work with you would be in good hands. Is it a high or a low cost to get started? I mean, how much money would it take to get started in this business?
Well, look, I like to say to people, you shouldn't be throwing tens of thousands of dollars at any new venture because you don't know if it's going to work. And so my approach was, you know, and I say to people that I work with, sell some stuff from around the house because that will give you some funding, as in, you know, you'll make a couple of hundred dollars or whatever, and then you can use that couple of hundred dollars to buy some products. And, you know, I teach people how to find products at good prices and how to size up the pricing and how to compete and do all of those things. But fundamentally, it gives them a bit of seed funding to get started. And then they buy a few things and they sell them for profit. And then I would recommend putting that profit just back into buying a few more items to get the ball rolling. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that are training people on eBay and importing and setting up e-commerce sites, and, you know, the list goes on online, and they're asking people to upfront put in tens of thousands of dollars. And that's crazy. You've got no idea whether that's going to work for you or even if it's something you're going to enjoy doing. So, you know, my approach really is let it self-fund, or if you really want to get a fast start, put a couple of hundred dollars into some stock that I help you, you know, identify, so that you're not, you know, going to be buying things that aren't going to sell. And I've got research tools and all sorts of things that I put together for the people that I work with to show them, you know, how to sanity check and how not to get eaten alive in the marketplace.
So who would your ideal client be?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, because I've worked with people right across the board. So, you know, I work with, as I said, mums that are at home with their kids or with really little ones, or that they've got kids at school and they want flexible hours. I've worked with, and you know, my book, because I talk about being a shopaholic, most people think I work with women. I've worked with some, you know, amazing men who, you know, one of my first clients really started his eBay business and didn't think it was going to work, and you know, all of that, and I got him to set a goal of what sort of income he wanted to make and in what time frame, and he'd set a 5-year goal, and then 3 months later he hit that goal. So, and he, you know, he had his first $20,000 month 6 months after we started working together. So, you know, there is some serious money in this, and he was looking, you know, to set himself up for retirement. So I work across a broad spectrum, and I work with, as I said, everyday Australians just wanting to earn some extra cash, all the way through to bricks and mortar retailers who don't know how to get online or have tried to have an e-commerce site and it's failed and they don't know how to do that, but they know they need to get online. And so I work with them as well to teach them what to do to become a specialist online retailer and, you know, the best approach and how to really pump up their e-commerce site to make it a profitable one.
It's always good talking to an expert. Can you tell me about eBay as a business and what some of the niches that you sell into?
Sure. So, look, eBay is a really interesting business because, you know, a few years ago when I got started, it you know, as I said, it was a trash and treasure thing, and no one, including a lot of the retailers, took it very seriously. So, you know, Meyer and David Jones and the Good Guys and all those different people really didn't give it paid any mind. They just thought it was a bit of a fad thing and it was for, you know, for amateur sellers, I guess. And my, how far it's come in a couple of years. Now a lot of the retailers see how much traffic goes to eBay. So, you know, as an example, eBay attracts over 7 million unique customers who are going there to buy every month. 7 million Australians go to eBay every month to buy. Now that's a third of our population. That's massive.
It's amazing.
So it's a really robust, interesting business. And what I like about it, so am I an eBay evangelist? Absolutely not. To me, as I said, my background is taking products to market through a channel. To me, eBay is just a channel to market. But what they do really well that ticks the boxes for me is that they're a customer traffic magnet. So customers go there to buy. So customers go to eBay with their PayPal login ready to buy whatever they see that they want. eBay is clever because it actually taps into Google searching. So if you search for a product on Google, it more often than not will bring up an eBay listing. So as an eBay seller, I couldn't buy that sort of, you know, traffic or that priority on Google. It would cost me a lot of money in AdWords and you know, pay-per-clicks and all those things that e-commerce sites do to be able to get that ranking. But eBay does that for me. And the only time I pay eBay is when I've sold something. So to me, it's not like there's a lot of upfront cost to be involved with it. They do all the hard work. So they do all the heavy lifting of getting customers to eBay. If you know how to use the right keywords and present your product well, you'd really have to be hopeless, beyond hopeless, not to sell something on eBay. Because if you know how to work it, it's a perfect traffic magnet. And not only that, you have the opportunity to learn your skills there. And that's what I say to a lot of the retailers. Go onto eBay and learn how to be an online seller and then migrate those skills onto your e-commerce site. But, you know, your e-commerce site's not going to have traffic like eBay will. So go there and learn your skills and build those customers and then move them across to your e-commerce site. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with eBay that a lot of people don't even think about. It's a really amazing business. Now, as far as the niches I sell into, I've sold into lots of different ones. In the beginning, when I was sort of ticking the boxes to see what I would like to sell, I started doing some research, and I am, you know, a mad kitchen gadget person. So I was, and I spend a lot of time looking at cookbooks and kitchen gadgets. And, you know, I've got every kitchen gadget. I don't do as much cooking as I probably should. But, I spend a lot of time doing that anyway. So it was a natural progression for me going, I know what the latest cookbooks are. I know who the celebrity chefs are. It would be really easy for me to source product in this space because I'm spending a lot of time there. And I'm a customer, so I know what I'd like to see in a store. So I used my shopping skills and all the things that, you know, I experienced as a shopaholic, and then I just built my store based on what I like to experience and what I thought my customers would like. So I started with kitchen products, and then soon, because I'm an organic gardener, soon went into some gardening products. Then I got really good at that stage in finding some products. So then I started seeing products that would trend. So I'd be watching to see what the new emerging product was, because I wanted to get on that bandwagon. So there was a thing called a Nicer Dicer that was on late night TV, and I sourced those, and I sold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those. So I made thousands of dollars off those, which was wonderful. And my store just lit up. It just was going, you know, it was just selling all the time with those hero products. My manicurist was telling me one day that she had been reading a novel called 50 Shades of Grey, which now we all know was a phenomenon. At the time, it was just sort of starting to take off. I sourced that book and sold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those. So I was really lucky to find these emerging trends, which gave me the idea about trend tracking. And I talk about that in the book, about how to find emerging trends and to get on board with them. And in the kitchen space, you know, Jamie Oliver was doing his 15-minute meals program. So every time he would be selling his 15-minute meals book on his TV show, my eBay store would light up because I was selling that book. So I learned about getting on board with people who were good marketers, because they would be selling the product for me. So there was lots of amazing things I discovered as I went on this journey on eBay, to learn my skills and have a go, and, you know, made some amazing money on the way, but really honed that formula of riding the emerging trends, and also had to compete with other sellers in a really saturated marketplace.
Did you have any mentors along the way at all?
I sure did. I've always been a person who believes in coaching and mentoring. And from, you know, even when I was a young dancer, one of the things that happens is when you show, you know, a bit of talent, one of the more senior ballerinas will come and mentor you along and teach you what someone taught her. And so the knowledge is handed down from, you know, teacher to student. And then as a student, your obligation is to hand it down to other students. And, you know, when I started to be a ballet teacher, my obligation was to hand down all the things that the prima ballerinas I'd worked with had taught me. So I've always come from a place of, you seek out mentors who have walked, where you want to go and have been successful, and ask them and find out from them. So along the way, I got very interested in positive mental attitude books in my 20s and read sort of all the classics, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and The Double Win, and which was Dennis Waitley. And in the 80s, there were a lot of, these emerging positive mental attitude speakers, and I was very interested in those guys. And so I really understood the power of having a goal and a target and a focus, and how to deal with negative when it happens. So that was always something I was interested in. And then along the way, I met some fantastic mentors that are still mentors of mine today, Darren Stevens and Jackie Stevens, who I worked with Mars Venus Coaching. So I was doing some gender coaching here and in the US, and so I was always very interested in helping others, and coaching corporate women as well, breaking the glass ceiling. And so all the way along, I've always had mentors that I've looked up to. And even in the eBay space, I've worked with some, well-known Australian eBayers, as well as some, you know, the number one eBay seller in the US I did some work with, did some training with, and also worked with him on some concepts. So, you know, I've always sort of sought out what I would call the horse's mouth. I always try and go to the top and find out what the people at the top are doing, because I think, you know, if they can just give you one piece of advice, that can totally change your life. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of mentoring, absolutely.
What recommendations would you make to someone who wants to learn about becoming an online retailer?
Look, I would say don't jump in and be tempted to see something cheap and buy, you know, a pallet load, because, you know, I know so many people who have garages full of products they can't sell. So I would say do it very tentatively, you know, sell some stuff around the house, get used to doing it, find out what the successful sellers do. That would be my first recommendation. And, you know, sites like eBay is full of advice on how to do the eBay stuff. On the strategies of selling, you know, there's a few people around that, you know, I could recommend. But fundamentally, I would say, you know, the first thing to do is don't throw too much money at it in the beginning, because it's really an apprenticeship. And if you think of it that way, when someone's an apprentice, they're earning a little bit of money and they're learning a lot. They're making mistakes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're honing their skills. They're still making some money on the way. It's not like what a full, you know, payment would be if you were, you know, a carpenter. But if you're an apprentice carpenter, you're earning a little bit of money and you're sort of learning the skills from the ground up. And if you approach it like it's an apprenticeship, don't be expected to earn $1 million overnight, because it really isn't a get rich quick scheme. It takes work, and there's no two ways about that. Anything worthwhile takes work. However, it really is a way of automating an income. With once you get it up and running and you have everything, you know, basically on autopilot, it really does take 2 hours a day or 10 hours a week. And these days I have people picking and packing the products for me. So I don't do much of that anymore. So I just do the sort of shopping and sourcing and that sort of end of it. And I have, you know, gorgeous mums that I pay, you know, and they're happy to drop their kids at school, come and, you know, put products together and ship them for me and, you know, work within the school hours. So, you know, you really can set the business up so it's a win-win for everybody.
Sounds like you've got a really good system going there. What have you found are the best methods or strategies for keeping motivated and focused? Because it can be a lonely business working from home on your own.
Yeah, it really can. And that's where I think, you know, being part of a community. So the wonderful thing now that we're really lucky that even though you may be sitting at home, you can tap into, you know, Facebook groups and communities are around, you know, and do some courses, because there's plenty of things to learn. You know, I've got a Facebook page. You're most welcome to join that and ask me questions. You know, I'm always getting questions on there, and we're doing a question and answer thing. There's also some free videos on my website as well, The Savvy Shopaholic. You can register as a member. Doesn't cost anything. And there's videos on there to help walk you through some of the basics. So you're most welcome to do that. But, yeah, I would say even if you're working from home, you can still reach out and be part of a community asking questions and being involved. The other thing is, you know, as I said, I still shop these days, even though I import and I have manufacturers overseas making product for me and I do all that end of it as well. I still go out and shop and find bargains and sell them online because, you know, number one, I'm a shopaholic, but number two, it's really easy because retailers generally sell in seasons. So at the end of the season, they pretty much throw product away at really, really ridiculous prices. Now, you know, the example I often use is I saw a Jamie Oliver pestle and mortar. So, you know, it was a granite, big, heavy granite thing that you grind spices in. And it was the end of season, so this particular online retailer was selling it for $8 and they retailed at $39.99. So I think I bought them out of stock of about 100 of them. At the time, obviously, I was cashed up to do that. In the beginning, I would have bought 5 of them, but, you know, whatever. And I bought them out of that stock. And I, you know, bundled that up, did a great eBay listing, and then sold those products for just under full retail price. Now, when I tell my retailers, my retail friends, that, they die because they're going, you're buying our throwaway stock and you're selling it for full price. And I went, because you guys don't know how to sell online. Online, people don't generally buy in seasons. A mortar and pestle is a mortar and pestle. It's not a seasonal product. Now, sure, Jamie Oliver is going to bring out a sexier one next season, but someone online doesn't care if it's the latest one, they just want it to be fit for purpose and be fabulous. So, you know, there really is a different way of thinking in online retail to traditional retail. So I still shop the sales. And by going out and shopping the sales, of course, you're out with people and finding out what's going on and what the buzz is and what the emerging products are.
As a business owner, what's the most common questions you get asked and what is your answers?
That's good ones. So probably where do people think about having an online store, really the first question they ask is, what am I going to sell? And that was one of the things I did, basically said that. But that's sort of the question I answer first in my programs and the way I approach things, because I do teach people to shop for product and build their niche. So, you know, the niche being a category of products that they know about. So I answer that question straight away. So with the answer to what you're going to sell, it becomes very easy to build a store around, you know, firstly one or two products and then five products and then 10 products. And soon you've got, you know, quite a few hero products that are just selling. And from there, you know, you basically have a store up and running. Now, I've got clients that have 150 product lines. I have some that have 50 products. I have some that have 20, depending on what their goals are and the money that they want to make. Just depends on how big the stores are that they build. So really, that's the most common is, what am I going to sell? And I guess the other one is pretty much about, you know, they didn't think that eBay would be a great place to sell because they thought it was a junkyard. And when I explain why I think it's a great channel to market, and they see it working for them, then they understand the power of it and, you know, that you really can build a very successful business on eBay.
So how have you expanded your business? I assume you haven't got all this in your garage anymore.
No, I don't. I did for way too long, actually. I used to pack everything on my dining room table. And if there was one thing that I made a big mistake on was not growing it fast enough. So the products were selling fast, but I didn't grow the way the business was structured fast enough. So I used to get up, you know, I was working in corporate, and I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and fulfill orders for 2 hours on my dining room table with my cat, you know, fighting me for the sticky tape. And then I would pack my boot and drive to the office. And then at lunchtime, I would drive over to post office and they would, you know, help me carry all the boxes in. And then I'd go back to the office and then I'd go shopping after work, generally to somewhere like Costco or IKEA or some of those places. And I would take product back to my place and unpack it into my garage and then fulfill the orders that had arrived during the day. And then I'd go to bed and start again. And I did that for a long time and nearly half killed myself. So once I made the adjustment that I really needed to move out of my house because it was getting too big, the first port of call for me was to get a storage locker. And, you know, some places like Kennards are great for that because they have, you know, secure lockers. You can have space, you can rack them. And also if you've got people that want to pick up from you, they have a concierge service where, you know, you don't have to actually be there. You can leave the product with the people at the front desk at Kennards and they will allow someone to pick it up from them. You know, it became a really nice stepping stone for me on the way to getting my own warehouse because I could keep everything locked away in a storage locker. And, of course, those lockers come in all sizes. They're not just little. Some of them are like double garages or mini warehouses. So I transitioned to that space and that was when I started getting help to pick and pack the product. And I wish I had have done that way sooner and not missed so much sleep.
So that's it. That was a great tip there. Have you got another couple of tips for reaching greater levels of success?
Sure. I think it's about not being scared. And I heard a really great quote recently about, you know, fear never conquered anything. So, you know, often when you're learning something new, it feels uncomfortable and really awkward. And that's why I like to frame it up as at being an apprenticeship, because you are learning something and it doesn't feel natural to begin with, like riding a bike. When you first learn, it feels awful. soon you don't even think about it. And this is the same. And I think people get to a certain point and it still feels a bit awkward and they're not sure what they're doing, and or they might have some success with one product and they're scared that's going to finish. And they don't just push through to that next level. And it's kind of like the darkness before, you know, the morning light. It really is that point where it just feels hard and they stop. And if they just went a little bit further, everything sort of opens up and it becomes so much easier. So, you know, my thing is, best advice to people is don't be scared. Just follow the process. Uh-huh. Be confident that when it feels awkward and you don't know what you're doing, that you're learning and you're in the right space. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And allow yourself to go through the apprenticeship, because very soon it's going to just go into automatic and you're going to know what you're doing and it will just seem easy. But you really just have to bear with that process. And, you know, you will be scared and it will feel, you know, uncomfortable. But that means you're doing the right thing and you're learning something new.
What are the other benefits of being an online marketer?
Sure. Well, I mean, online is the place to be, really. The beauty of being online from a retail point of view is, you know, I've got bricks and mortar retail friends at traditional retail stores, and they're limited to the times that they can open their doors for business by, you know, legislation and the shopping centre they're in and, you know, what the government says you can do. And, you know, there's all sorts of things around what they can do. You know, one of the people I've been working with had a kitchenware store in Adelaide, and they don't open on Boxing Day. Now, for most of Australia, Boxing Day sales are incredible and everyone goes nuts. So she got online and found that she was having, you know, days that were better than her days before Christmas on Boxing Day. Normally she couldn't open her store that day, but online she could, because online is 24/7. And the reach of it isn't just in your local area. It's all over Australia or all over the world if you choose to go that far. You know, some of the other things that are great about that is, you know, I run eBay businesses in the US from Australia. So, and obviously I drop ship, so I don't send product over to the US. I have, you know, manufacturers that I work with in the US that ship for me. However, it means that you can do business from anywhere you are. As long as you've got a laptop and an internet connection, you could be on a cruise and still be doing your business if you set it up the right way. So the beauty of the internet is it's really mobile, and people can buy from your store any time of the day or night. And for traditional retailers, that kind of bends their brain a little bit. And, you know, I'm on the traditional retail front, so let me just finish off on that. One of the things that a lot of them will say is, oh, you know, we have to run a whole different thing. Often in a retail store, there's downtime when staff are standing around or cleaning, or, you know, if you've got an online store and a retail store, in your downtimes in your retail store, your staff can be picking and packing your online product that you've sold. So there really is a way of making it cost effective to work with the business you've got. For people that are just starting to do that from home, they can do that whenever they can pick and pack whenever they like. If they've got children and, you know, they want to spend all the time with them while the kids are away, when the kids go to sleep, they can spend 2 hours and do their, you know, their research and trending emerging products and, you know, listings on eBay and picking and packing. So it really is flexible to the how you want to work the business, however many hours you want to work it. And that's the beauty of being online, I think. And from the marketing point of view, of course, you build a database and you can market to those customers. Those customers, if you treat them well, become loyal customers and they'll follow you. So, you know, when I open up a new niche, I'll market to my customers and say, hey, guys, just opened a new garden store. I know you've purchased from me in the past in this niche, but, you know, we've got the same great service, but in this niche. And often they transition with you. So, you know, the sky's the limit with online. It's such an exciting space to be working in.
So I assume your life has changed.
It sure has. It really has. So, yeah, I've got to say, I still really like the cut and thrust of corporate. And every now and then I go and work with some of Australia's largest brands consulting on their digital commerce space. So I'm still working in the same space, but from one end of the spectrum to the other. And I've been consulting with, you know, a big brand called Telstra on their digital commerce space. But also I love working with people to see their lives change. And that is such a rewarding thing that you can see, you know, especially people that really need money and, you know, working with me for a couple of weeks and, you know, that they're making $300 or $400 a week that they never anticipated they could make. you know, that takes the pressure off, you know, that buys groceries and pays for swimming lessons. So, you know, it's to some people, it's a massive change. And that's such a lovely thing. It's such a privilege to be able to help people do that.
If you can pay for your groceries, I mean, that is a big item out of our weekly expenses. So I assume,
absolutely.
I assume you enjoy what you do.
I love it. I really do. And there's really a time that I don't enjoy it. And even if I'm tired, I still really love all the components of it. And that was the thing. When I went into it, I wanted to make sure it was something I loved and something that was going to be fun. And, you know, my motto really is if you're going to spend a lot of hours doing something, you should try and make it fun. And if you don't, shame on you, because there's always ways to make something fun. You know, this really is a fun business. And, you know, I love to shop. And for those people who don't like to shop, who go, oh, don't like shopping, you'd like it a lot more when it's making you money.
Do you have more women than men as store owners, or?
Yeah, look, generally I do have, there generally is more women than men, and it tends to start with women having a go to make some extra money. And then once it really starts to take off, their husbands get involved when it really starts to look like what they would call a real business, because then they think, wow, there really is some money coming in here, so it would be worth spending some time. In the beginning, you know, it's a bit of shopping and it's a bit of selling. It looks like it, you know, it's what the old version of, you know, party plan or whatever would be, and they don't really necessarily pay it much mind. But I have had some guys come in, as I said, you know, one of my first clients was looking to set up a retirement income, and he had seen me basically, you know, go from just shopping and selling and watching my business grow to, you know, importing from China and, you know, all the things I was doing at that time. So he just went, you know, you're doing it, I should have a go. And he runs a very successful, well, several successful online businesses now, and has set himself up financially, and now is, you know, complaining about all the investment properties he's got. Poor him. Men often, if they sit down and understand channels to market, they'll see the vision of it. But often the women come in first and then they get excited later.
Okay. So in your experience, this creating change in people must bring you great satisfaction.
Yeah, it's, look, what I love about it too is that, you know, some people that are, you know, they've been in a job or in a business for a long time and they get a bit stale. And the fact that the online space is this new, emerging, growing opportunity, it's something new to get your teeth into, and it's also going to be here for a long time. It's not just something that's going to fizzle out, because let's face it, you know, retail, I heard someone say the other day, you know, if you're a retailer and you think retail is changing, you've missed the boat, because retail has changed forever. And I thought that was really amazing quote. And that's the thing, that the new world is upon us, and this opportunity gives everyone, you know, it's within grasp to be able to move into a new career, still doing things that you love to do in the space you love to do it. But it's basically, you know, not a business that's going to go away in the future. Like, as I said, I've been working with Telstra, and if you could see what they were planning for the digital future and the way to transact and how to interact and how to do business, it would, you know, curl your hair. So I'm confident to say that, you know, this business, the online business, is going to be around for a very long time, and it's only going to get better. I was speaking to one of the key business people at eBay recently, and she was saying that I think it's over 60% of transactions in Asia Pacific now are done on a mobile phone. That's massive when you think that in Asia most people shop from their phone, and it's massive. It's like 80% of people shop from their phone. Very few shop from their desktop anymore. I mean, you know, with that mobility, people are shopping on the train and they're shopping on the tram and they're shopping from bed. You know, that's amazing. So, you know, it really is the future, and giving people the opportunity to transition into a future career is very exciting.
It's just absolutely fascinating. Everyone's going to have to be online and doing stuff online. So just to finish off now, would you like to share what your passions are in life and what else do you do?
So yeah, that's interesting. As I said earlier, I'm an organic gardener, and I love absolutely love gardening, and it's spring at the moment. So, you know, I'm in my element. I think the weeds are too, actually. But yeah, I'm in my element getting everything ready for, you know, a good crop for this year. I love organic gardening. I am a bit of a crazy cat lady. So I do have a couple of cats that love to meow when I'm on webinars and walk on my keyboard when I'm trying to write books. So they're pretty fabulous. And they used to, as I said, used to help me pack items. I am a bit of a geek. I really do like computers, and I am a bit of an early adopter, I suppose. I like gadgets and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm always into all of that. But I also love, as I said, the positive mental attitude side of things. So I do love going to seminars and learning something new. And I think that just keeps your brain fresh. So they're sort of the main things that I do, I guess. I do like to cook and do some of that as well. But, and of course, need I say it, I love to shop.
Now, I know my listeners will want to know more.
Well, there's a couple of ways. One thing, I've just launched my book called The Savvy Shopaholic, and that's in bookshops now. Or you can buy it off eBay. So you can certainly buy it off eBay. And also I have a website, which is, you know, savvyshopaholic.com.au. Now, if you'd like to go to that and register as a member, we'll keep you up to date with what's going on. And there's also some free content there. So some free videos that you can do and some downloadable to help get you started. So you're most welcome to go there, and I'd love to hear your stories of how you go.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody. Mm-hmm.